feel it burning deep in my soul. I know it's time for me to go.
Welcome to Publish or Perish FM, social selling in the age of content marketing. This is the podcast for innovative and scale-seeking sales leaders and CMOs. Here's your host, Jeff Leo Herman. No longer grazing in this field I once laid. Well, I wanna taste, let go of haste.
Blood in the water, oh, I will not hesitate because well, I'm an animal. Hey, it's Jeff, and welcome to episode 26 of Publish or Perish FM. Today is Friday, April 8th, 2016, and I am really thrilled to be here with you today. And I'm also thrilled, equally thrilled, to say that I'm joined by my tag team partner in crime, John Pogat, who's our director of marketing at Fathom. Hey, John.
Hey, Jeff. What's up? Glad to be here.
I'm thrilled. Isn't it sad that it's April 8th and it's going to snow 1 to 3 inches this weekend?
It's tragic.
So, hey, let's jump in. Talk about the one thing today to scale relationships and scale revenue. That's always our mission. And today, I'd love your perspective on the notion of going rogue and how, you know, both sales leaders and marketing leaders really can evolve into thought leaders, and the notion of those sales professionals going rogue, and when we feel as both sales and marketing leaders, it's okay to promote people over product. So how does that sound?
Sounds awesome.
Cool.
Looking forward to getting into it.
Good. Well, we have a lot of experience with many former colleagues that go rogue. They're highly effective. They burn things out a little bit, but it's they're breaking new ground all the time, right?
That's it.
Yeah, we won't name names, but I know we're both thinking the same person. So, before we jump into this topic, it's always the question is why. So, why are we talking about it? What's the point of transforming a sales leader into a thought leader or a marketing leader into a thought leader? Shouldn't we just be the champion of the brand? And we want to break this down and really get into some content marketing methodologies and some kind of long-held beliefs that we're going to challenge today. Because our goal is, of course, we're leveling up the social selling maturity curve. We're all in it to achieve level 4 status as a creator, and creators of content earn authority because you get visibility, you take visibility, you're sharing your knowledge and expertise. And as that creator, you command authority. And of course, we're huge advocates on this program of video publishing to scale relationships and scale revenue. And there's nothing better that breaks through than a video. It really just, in so many reasons, builds trust and credibility, gets attention, helps people understand what it's like to work with. So one of the things we often recommend are for sales leaders to video publish and really just jump in and break through and build those relationships that scale through video publishing. But, you know, you and I, we have responsibility for, we're brand stewards as well as we support individual people. Mm-hmm. When is it okay to go rogue and just have an individual sales or marketing leader get ahead and try to be bigger than the brand? So what, you know, those are the considerations. Those are, we have a couple of variables to consider first before we even dig into this notion of thought leadership and who's allowed to go rogue or who should just go rogue and then, you know, beg for forgiveness later.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And it's a good question because there is a gray line there. And, you know, the one thing you said, when is it okay to be bigger than the brand? And I think that's where that gray line is. It's not necessarily, in my opinion, about being bigger than the brand. I think it's really about being as big as the brand or being that champion steward of the brand, but also providing a level of authenticity and a level of charisma too, because brands are stale by themselves.
Right.
They're boring. You know, think of what Apple would be without Steve Jobs behind it.
Right.
It would be a computer.
Right.
Or it would be Microsoft, you know,
right.
It would be, and Microsoft's boring, you know,
right.
No offense to any Windows users, but I don't think it's about being bigger. I think it's being either as big or being that kind of launch pad for providing a level of authenticity, but also some personality. Salespeople bring personality to the table.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of debate out there between people buy from people they like, and I know there's both sides of that equation, but I'm a firm believer of, you know, buying from people, interacting with people, and product and features is, you know, good too, but I'm more likely to interact, converse, take a call if somebody has some charisma behind them.
Yeah, you know, John, that's a great point. You know, we live in this information-soaked world, and the advent of search and basically the notion of content marketing. So in the former world of asymmetrical information, where salespeople held the cards and really just were focused on driving an agenda of selling product and selling features, you know, the buyers are in control now, right? Consumers have control. They have access to full information from companies across the competitive spectrum. So it's interesting, this notion, it's shifted, right, to the buyer side, and where the audience, if a sales organization is doing the job, they're just trying to solve problems of their audiences or customers, as other in so many ways, right? So, and it's not this perspective, I think this legacy perspective of thinking about product-centric sales collateral, product-centric approaches hasn't evolved or should evolve more quickly, because the point you make, I think audiences need their problem solved. Customers need problem solved. Well, people solve problems through a product, via a product, and the product itself can't talk, right? Unless we're in AI or robotics to some extent. I mean, you know, marketing has this opportunity to communicate with buyers. And so to resonate on that individual, that personal level, I think is a valid point, and that's changed the game given the world we live in today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's even more room than ever for salespeople to kind of rise above, or, you know, like they say, the cream rises to the top a little bit, with scaling their personalities through both content marketing, working with your marketing teams, or even just through personalized video. Just get out there.
Right.
Because the opportunity is there. And to your point about consumers, yeah, there's so much consumer autonomy out there in terms of the level of information or access to information and products out there that we're almost programmed to ignore that without the helpful hand of some sort of ambassador to walk us through that process.
Right. Ah, great point. The role of the ambassador. I mean, there you know, we had some initial considerations to consider. Considerations to consider, that doesn't make sense, right? Isn't that a little redundant? You know, look, what are the variables, right? So you have, it's a different strategy if you're a product versus a service company, or say if you're the founder or part of the C-suite versus a role-based, you know, person, say at a product level, or even if you're a startup or small business versus enterprise. And you know, we're really focused on, of course, enterprise, innovative and scale-seeking sales leaders and CMOs. And so you raised the interesting point. Who is in the best position to be the ambassador? So putting all these things aside, let's assume it's an enterprise organization that has a long history with a great brand of selling excellent products that, you know, provide solutions to the customers. But from that brand ambassador, I think one of the things that's holding us back is trust. And who do you trust, right? Is marketing team often seems to have a more academic or intelligent approach. They seem to be a little more well-grounded in data, where salespeople are seen as fast and loose. And what do you think that notion, what scares you if you see a salesperson going rogue and trying to represent the organization? What do you think about that?
Well, I wouldn't say that we have... I've worked with any salespeople that have definitely gone rogue off the deep end or in a bad way. But mm-hmm. What would scare me, for just being hypothetical about that, would be, boy, this sounds so marketing speak, right? But going off brand, meaning,
right,
you know, talking, getting off our strategy. Most organizations like ours, or marketing organizations, sales, product organizations have, or should have, a documented content marketing strategy. They should have core strengths or core competencies that they focus on. And what would scare me is going off of those core competencies, meaning going rogue from them, and you know, not telling the story the way that it should. So I'm not afraid of them telling the story in a very charismatic way, or talking about our company or our product or our services in a way that's exciting or engaging or differently. Because I'm a true believer that it's how you tell the story is where you see success. And salespeople tend to be more charismatic storytellers. And even myself, I like speaking. I like being, you know, in front of a crowd. But a great storytelling salesperson is gonna, kick ass, quite honestly.
Yeah. John, you're right. I mean, geez, the importance of a documented content marketing strategy. So really, it sounds like we want to encourage that, leverage that charisma, right? And really lean into the strengths that, sales leaders have. But to the extent that the burden is on the marketing team to say, we have a strategy, we have a content marketing mission statement, we have editorial guidelines. If you're going to use video or content marketing or content, content development, simply become a creator, go for it. But please, we will arm you with these guidelines to be highly effective. Do you think that's, are you willing to take on that burden just to, drive that innovation?
Oh, absolutely. And the truth is that guys like me, marketers, we want that. We want, very charismatic. We want audience-facing people out there,
right?
Like salespeople, like yourself, like some of the folks we have in the building, and like others I've met on social media, to be able to really accelerate that narrative that we want to tell. So sure, we've got very, structured ways in which we want to say things, how we want to say it, our targets, but again, that could be vanilla without a great storyteller behind that. And I think a true partnership between sales and marketing is the key with successful organizations these days. And without that, you do end up having rogue activity on either end. And quite frankly, nobody wins.
That's true. John, that's a great point. I mean, a lot of salespeople we know with tons of initiative, and that's what's great about a lot of effective salespeople, they have initiative and they're willing to just jump in and get started. And in a vacuum, they will create something. Mm-hmm. So if they're not given the support, they'll just make it happen because that's the way they're wired. So what advice would you give to somebody who maybe say a marketing colleague who's criticizing a sales leader because, people that jump on video might seem narcissistic or self-absorbed. And what if someone's, going to catch flack? What would you say to that person to give them confidence to just jump in and get started?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, distilling it to its most simple form, I don't believe that marketers can succeed without great alignment with sales. So if you're either A, not aligned with sales, or just critical with the approach, or allergic to selling, I don't believe you'll be successful in the long term. So I think that's one thing that you really have to come to terms with at first. And having that successful relationship is going to help you become more successful as a marketer. And hey, we talk about sales and marketing alignment a lot, huge topic out there, but it's true. We can't survive without each other. And the more continuity we have in terms of what our strategy is and what our go-to strategy is and how we approach that market, the more successful everybody's going to be. Both marketers, both salespeople, et cetera. At the end of the day, it's up to us to drive revenue.
Right. No, that's a great point, John. So I think the key takeaway here is Monday morning at the sales and marketing meeting, let's whip out that documented content marketing strategy and those editorial guidelines. Repetition matters, right? And reviewing and consistent communications really matter, just to give everyone that sense of comfort and the fact that they buy in and the fact that they're actually excited about having a focus. That says a lot. And it's true. Speaking from a sales perspective, I love being armed with ammunition, because as long as I stick to the core set of messaging, of course, we're going to put our own little spin on it and take our own little flavor and inject our personality. But I think that's what makes us effective as well. That this goes back to that notion of authenticity matters. And, tease factors aside, it's fun. It's fun to really just, drive this level of communications and be authentic, but at the same point, stick to the brand strategy and the communication strategy.
Yeah. It's great. And it's a constant feedback loop too. So, I mean, we learn from each other on a consistent basis. We get feedback from our sales team that suggests like, hey, some of this messaging, it's not working as well as we'd like it to work. Well, it's okay. Let's check back. Is this aligned with our documented content marketing strategy? If it is, let's consider how we can kind of tweak our positioning on that messaging. Similarly, if we're having a down week or a down month with a particular sales, dude, we can just look back at our strategy and say, are we sticking to the strategy? Are we going too far out there? But it's great to have that constant feedback loop because we're constantly learning from each other.
Great, great. John, that's awesome. Hey, this has been a great dialogue today. I feel inspired to go out, produce more video, and of course I have our editorial guidelines taped up to the wall here to keep me on track. So
awesome. I love it.
Cool, cool. Well, great. John, we'll do this again. It was great having you on the podcast today. And for everyone else, we love the fact that you are here with us on a consistent basis and that we're learning together and scaling up the social selling maturity curve. So please, if this content's valuable, would love you go to iTunes and leave a rating and review. That helps podcasts like this get discovered. And we're switching our call to action, right? Our call to action is tweet me up, right? So let's go on Twitter, at Jeff L. Herman, two R's, two N's. I feel like Tim Ferriss saying that, John. But, you know, doing a lot of engagement on Twitter, and it's been a lot of fun. And, of course, we're going to engage on LinkedIn. And, John, tell people how to find you as well.
Yep. Pretty active on both LinkedIn and Twitter. So you can find me at jpogat, P-O-G-A-C-T. Or just look up Jonathan Pogat on LinkedIn. You'll find me, Director of Marketing at Fathom.
Cool. That's great, John. That's great. And do you want to join me in the final, the send-off, which is, got to say it, right? I hope we all think like marketers and sell like animals. Yeah, there you go. Sell like animals. All right, John. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Okay.
Escape, now create my own state. I'm the one with the power to dictate my own fate. Persist to exist, I make a list of the egos in my life I must dismiss. Battle in the mind, to know that I'm divine, that I'm the mastermind in this day-to-day grind.